Well, we continue our series this evening in sanctification. As we've begun some weeks ago, we've seen the absolute necessity of holiness in the believer's life. Be holy as I am holy. Strive for that holiness without which we shall not see the Lord. We've also seen the one who procures for us, who purchases for us all things necessary for our sanctification. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then more recently we saw that the only way we can become holy is if we are first born again of the Spirit of God. If our nature has a bent away from God only towards what is evil, we cannot change ourselves. And so we first need that work of the Spirit of God in our lives. But we come this evening to continue that series, and particularly to see a distinction between justification and sanctification. If we get these two doctrines mixed up, confused, or wrong, well then we will seriously get the whole thing wrong. There are various ways in which that could be the case. Take Roman Catholicism as one example. They conflate the two into one. In Roman Catholic doctrine, you are never justified in this life. Justification is a final justification, and sanctification precedes that. You must become sanctified, you must become holy in order to be justified by God at the end. Now, Paul would call that in Galatians anathema. He would call that a false gospel. Even if an angel from heaven were to preach that, let him be accursed. But there are other errors in which we may be more tempted to go wrong, such as the antinomian error. I think for many, there are many in the evangelical church that have become antinomians. They have an emphasis on justification, which is right. They preach that gospel that we are justified by grace alone, through faith alone, which is right. But because the emphasis is solely on justification, they fail to see the necessity of sanctification, and they fail to preach holiness. And so whether they are theologically, consciously antinomian, or whether functionally they just become that way through carelessness, nevertheless, the result is the same. A group of people in a church under such preaching could be converted. Yes, they could have heard of justification by faith, but nevertheless, they're not going to wage war against the sin in their lives. They're not going to strive hard after holiness. Then there's the other error. Various Wesleyan Methodists, or some Pentecostals, or you see it even in the Keswick Convention, in which justification and sanctification become so separated from each other that it's possible, they say, for someone to be justified but not sanctified. And they make a division. There are those who aren't Christians, there are those who are spiritual Christians, but in between there are those who are carnal Christians. Worldly. They're not spiritual. They need some sort of second blessing, or they need to be brought in by some experience into a higher life, and then they'll become sanctified. Then they'll take real strides. They'll have victorious living for Christ. But friends, it's important for us to see that if you are justified, you are being sanctified to some degree. And if you are not being sanctified, you are not justified. The two are inseparable graces in the Christian life. They are twins, one and the other. That where sanctification is evident, where you see its fruit, there you know is someone justified. You can't see justification. You don't hear the verdict in heaven, righteous, innocent. But you see its fruit in the sanctification. And both these graces are beautiful graces. Both of these are glorifying to God, and both of them are necessary. And I think in the Reformed Church today there has arisen many misunderstandings because the distinction between justification and sanctification is just not as clear as it ought to be. It is very clear in our confession of faith, it is very clear in our catechisms, but there have been many misunderstandings that have arisen. Perhaps questions like this are things that you and I have wrestled with. Are we allowed to press on Christians' duties? Are we allowed to exhort them to keep the law of God? Or is that moralism, legalism? Are we allowed to speak about the threats of judgment, the threatenings and warnings which God's word gives to Christians? Or again, is that legalism? Are we able to speak of trying to please God? Are we able as Christians to displease God? Or does he always smile at us? Can we do good works? We know they're not meritorious. They don't earn for us everlasting life. But are these good works necessary for us to go to heaven? Can we be motivated towards holiness by anything other than the gospel? Or can we be motivated towards holiness because of the gracious rewards which God provides, and also because of the threatenings of the law of God? Or even this question, does the law of God apply at all to Christians? Are we under grace and not under law? Those are various questions which are debated backwards and forwards, even in the Reformed Church today. And we could answer them. We could say, yes, we may press upon Christians their duties before the Lord. We may put the law before them, even the threats and the warnings of the law of God. Yes, we should be seeking to please the Lord. Yes, we can displease God. Yes, we must do good works. They are necessary for us to enter into heaven. Yes, we can be motivated by the thought of a reward, and we can be motivated by the threat of God's word. And yes, the law of God does apply to Christians in some sense. But to answer this way, which I believe is the biblical way to these questions, in many churches people would say that's legalism, that's moralism, and that's not what we find in the Bible. But the reason they answer this way is because they have confused justification and sanctification. They go together, but they must be distinguished from one another. And in our text here, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11, we have both of these mentioned. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. There we see both of them together. You were sanctified, you were justified. These two graces go together. We can see that in other portions of the scripture also. I think about 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30, where it says, but of him, that is of Christ, you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. You see there, righteousness, which relates to justification and sanctification. Or think about Romans 8 and verse 30. It doesn't mention the word sanctification, but it's included there in idea. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Those whom he called, he also justified. Those whom he justified, he also glorified. You see, there's that golden chain running. If he has called you and justified you, he will glorify you. And in order to glorify you, it's a process of sanctification. Or Acts 28 and verse 18, where Paul preaches to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they, that is the Gentiles, may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance with those who are sanctified by faith in me. Forgiveness of sins, that is justification, and also an inheritance with those who are sanctified by faith. These go together. And the last one, Titus 2 and verse 14, of Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. You see, he redeems us from lawless deeds and he purifies us. He justifies and he sanctifies. The two go together. And it has always been the intention of the Godhead to both justify and sanctify those whom he has chosen for himself. That was in the eternal decree. That was in the purpose that Christ died for. He didn't die simply to forgive us of our sins, to take away the punishment. He died that we might become holy, that we might be purified. That is in the gospel call. When the ministers of Christ call people to faith, they're calling them to submit to the righteousness of Christ, to trust in him for their justification, and also to submit to him, to bow the knee to him, to repent and to turn towards him. And I trust that in your own experience you find this for yourself. You treasure that justification which you believe is yours in the gospel. But you also see your need for holiness, to walk in the ways of God's commandments. So these two go together, justification and sanctification. And yet we must not mix them incorrectly. We must hold them as distinguished one from the other. And I want to really highlight three ways this evening in which that's the case. First of all, they're different in the way that they concern the sinner. Justification is concerned about the state of the sinner or the status. Sanctification is concerned with the nature of the sinner. One is about the person, the other is what's in the person. And that's a very important difference. Justification deals with our state before God. Are we righteous or are we unrighteous? Are we innocent before the judge or are we guilty before him? Justification is something that occurs outwith of us. It makes no real change inside our nature. It's outside of us. In fact, it's in heaven, in the courtroom of God. It's where he pardons our sins, he forgives us, and he imputes righteousness to us, the righteousness of Christ. That word imputes simply means he counts it to be ours. It's not really our righteousness. We did not merit it. We did nothing to deserve it. But he counts it into our account so that we who formerly were debtors now are in great credit. So it's a declaration about our state before God. A glorious declaration. A wonderful declaration. But sanctification is quite different because it concerns our nature. It concerns who we are inside of ourselves. Sanctification is a change, a renovation of our whole being. And there's a spectrum, of course, pure and impure. And there's everything in between, various levels of holiness in between. In justification, sin is pardoned. But in sanctification, sin must be subdued. It must be conquered. It must be suppressed. It must be mortified. It must be put off. In justification, righteousness, Christ's righteousness, is counted ours. In sanctification, righteousness must become a part of us. Grace is given to us, infused into us, so that we exercise our faith and walk in God's ways. There's a real change to who we are. We become holier than what we used to be. You see, it's not like justification. That's outside of us. That's in heaven. It concerns us, but it's in heaven. Sanctification is within us. It changes us, who we are. So that's the first way in which these two graces differ. Justification is about our state. Sanctification is about our nature. But the second way, and it's an important one, how they differ concerning the law of God. Both are very concerned with the law of God, but they are very different in how they deal with that law. Justification of course, deals with the great problem that we have. According to our sinful nature, we stand condemned under the law of God. And perhaps you remember when you weren't a Christian and the law of God was preached to you, and perhaps you felt great conviction of sin because you realized that you had not kept that law. You had broken many of the commands, but also you had fallen far short of the glory of God. There was that covenant of works made with Adam, and you had broken it. You were under it, and you had a great debt to pay to God, one that you could never hope to pay. You were bankrupt. You had nothing to give. But justification frees us from the debt under the law. It sets us free. It takes away that bankruptcy, and it puts us in credit once again, so that we can say we're not under the law, but under grace. We no longer have the law of God condemning us because of the righteousness of Christ counted ours. And that's why Paul says, again, preaching to the Gentiles, through this man, that is, through Christ, is preached to you the forgiveness of sins, and by him everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. And that's a very interesting turn of phrase. It's not really used in other places in the Bible. Justified from all the things. Or we could translate it, freed from all the things that the law of Moses could not free you from. You see, we were under condemnation from this law. We owed a great debt to God, but justification sets us free from it. We're not under law, but under grace. But the problem comes when people take that and apply that to sanctification, and they say, I'm not under law, I'm under grace. Sanctification has a different relationship to the law of God. Yes, we've been set free from it as one that would condemn us. But sanctification leads us to respect the law of God. Indeed, to love it. And to love it from the inner man, from your very heart and soul. Sanctification leads us to respect the law of God as the rule of faith and practice. And to delight in doing spiritual duties. You see, sometimes people say, well, to speak of duty is to speak of drudgery. Or to speak of duty is to speak of legalism. But not so. We have very clear duties set out for us in God's Word. And the law of God, as a rule for our lives, for our practice, provokes in us thankfulness to God. And it is used to help us to show that thankfulness to God. Jesus said to his disciples, if you love me, what will you do? You will keep my commandments. If you're thankful for salvation, if you're thankful that you've been justified, then what will you do? You will keep my commandments. Romans 7 verse 22 reminds us, Paul says, for I delight in the law of God according to the inner man. Inside, in his soul, he delighted in God's law. Or what about Psalm 119? Three times over in the course of that long psalm, it says, I love your law. I wonder, tonight, can you say that about God's, not just about his word, but even his law contained in the word? Even the threats and the warnings, as well as the promises. But can you say it about the whole? I love the law. You see, sanctification changes that relationship we have to the law. Yes, we would be merely condemned by it under the broken covenant of works. But sanctification shows to us that this law is a rule for our life. And it sets before us our spiritual duties. And so we should seek to conform ourselves more and more to this law. Then the third difference I want to speak about this evening is to speak about to what degree do justification and sanctification affect the believer? To what extent? And here we see a great difference. Because in justification, it affects us to the fullest degree. You're either justified or you're not justified. You can't be in between. You can't be pregnant and not pregnant. You're one or the other. It's a state. And so justification, you're either righteous or you're not righteous. And it's equal in all. If we're all here, if we are justified, we are all equally justified. There is not one of us here more righteous before God than another when we consider our state. Because each one of us has been covered over by the perfect, pure righteousness of Christ, a robe, a white robe covering over all our many sins and transgressions, a white robe covering our impurity and our great iniquity. Not one is more justified than another. And to the degree that we're justified, we will always be that justified. We can't be justified for a time and then suddenly lose our justification to become unjustified. No, once justified, always justified. But when we consider sanctification and the degree to which it affects the believer, we see it's quite different, because sanctification is not equal in all. Again, if we are all here, if we are justified, we're all equally justified, but we're not all equally sanctified. Some are holier than others. Some are more given to prayer than others. Some have struggles with particular temptations that others don't have. Some have been overtaken by temptations that others haven't been taken over by. Some are resorting more to the grace of God to defeat the temptation and to mortify sin. But others have become lazy and are not doing these things. You see, there's a spectrum amongst God's people. Sanctification is not equal in all. It's progressive, step by step by step, going from one degree of glory to the next. It's a righteousness produced in us, and it must be our righteousness. It must be our holiness. It must be our good works. It's not enough to say, well, Christ's righteousness covers over me. No, now you and I must become righteous ourselves. We must be holy. And yet we're aware that this will never be complete in this life, because we always offer to God something defiant, something unworthy, something that is filled with imperfections. Even our best works fall far short. But we are, by God's grace, to strive after holiness. And we progress in this way. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 1. We urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you should walk and to please God. You see, the apostle there says you should abound more and more. Don't become stagnant. You don't reach a point in your Christian life where you've plateaued, where you've reached the mountaintop and there's no higher to go, and you can be content with your holiness. We're never to be content with our holiness. We'll always have sin in this life. And so we are to abound more and more, step by step by step. As the psalmist says, Psalm 84, they go from strength to strength. That's the progressive element of our sanctification. And friends, we can be sure that the Lord Jesus Christ will provide us grace upon grace. If we are to abound more and more, step by step, we can be sure that Christ will provide us grace upon grace in order to take those steps and progress in holiness. So we have a very clear distinguishment between justification and sanctification. One concerns our status before God, the other our nature. One, justification frees us from the law, in that it doesn't condemn us. But sanctification shows us the law as a rule of faith and practice, that we would love it and obey it. Justification is equal in all and once for all. But sanctification is not equal in all. It's progressive, step by step. And yet, friends, shouldn't we be encouraged that both of these are of God? Justification and sanctification. The act of justification and the work of sanctification are both of God's free grace. Christ has died that we might be both justified and sanctified. And so it's necessary that we have faith for both of these. Faith in order to be justified. Faith is the alone instrument to receive that righteousness of Christ, to cling to it, to rest upon it. But faith is also necessary in sanctification, as that root which holds on to Christ and draws from him needed grace, feeds on Christ and all that he has procured for us, that we would produce fruit to his glory. And can you not see that in both of these, as different as they are one from the other, that in both the glory goes to God and to him alone? It's quite clear that the glory goes to God in our justification, because you and I were so devoid of righteousness. We were so wicked in our original nature that we could do nothing to merit God's pardon or even God's favor. And so we need that perfect, complete righteousness of Christ. And all glory goes to him. That justification is by faith. But is glory not given to God in sanctification also? That God takes sinful wretches such as we are and transforms us step by step. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. And so it is that we cannot take any of the glory of sanctification to ourselves. Yes, we'll see, hopefully next week, how we must strive more for this holiness. It's a warfare, the flesh against the spirit. But even though we wage that war and we strive after holiness, it's God who works in us, both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. No matter what we do, if we do something good, it's always because God in his grace has moved us to do that, has enabled us to do it, has allowed us to do it. And therefore the whole work of sanctification is to his glory and to his praise. Friends, these twin graces must always go together. If you're not sanctified, if you're not being sanctified, if you can find no fruit, no evidence of the Spirit's work in your life, that really leads you to suspect that you have ever been justified, that the Lord has ever pardoned you of your sin, that you've ever trusted upon Christ alone, who is freely offered to you in the gospel. And so I would exhort you, if you're in that state, to consider yourself unrighteous and to seek the righteousness of Christ. Submit yourself to it and to it alone. But if you find in yourself some of that work of the Spirit, some of that fruit, that evidence, well, then you can be encouraged of justification. You can be encouraged of what Christ has done. But you don't rest on that alone. You rest on Christ and you continue to pursue this holiness without which we shall not see the Lord. Amen. Let's stand together to pray. Most gracious and loving Lord God, how we are thankful for your salvation, perfect and complete. It could not have been designed by man. If we were to design our own salvation, we would only seek to be delivered from the punishment of sin, from the consequences of it, because we are more concerned with our own misery and happiness rather than being concerned with the glory and honor of God. But yet you would vindicate yourself and you would glorify yourself completely by purifying for yourself your own special people, zealous for good works. We thank you that you who have begun a good work in us will carry it on to completion. We plead with you, gracious God, that you would grant to us all necessary grace, that we would rest upon Christ, and that we would pursue this holiness. O Lord, take us step by step from one degree of glory to the next, Fulfill in your word all that you have promised to do for your own sins, and give us confidence to seek sanctification in the way in which your word calls us to. Bless then us each one, and forgive us of all our many sins. Cleanse us of our unworthiness. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I will conclude by singing from Psalm 84. As I quoted earlier on, a portion from this psalm from verse 7. We'll sing from verse 4 to verse 9. Psalm 84, verse 4. Blessed are they in thy house that dwell. They ever give thee praise. Blessed is the man whose strength thou art, in whose heart are thy ways. Who passing through Beggar's Vale, therein do dig up wells. Also the rain that falleth down, the pools with water fills. So they from strength unwearied go, still forward unto strength, until in Zion they appear, before the Lord at length. Lord God of hosts, my prayer hear. O Jacob's God, give ear. See God our shield, look on the face of thine anointed dear. So these words from verse 4 to verse 9. Let's stand to sing praise to God.
Blessed in thy hands that dwell, they ever give thee praise. Blessed is the man whose strength thou art,
of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.